For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of two tapes of the Tuesday evening service of December the 26th, 1989. Jack Harris is the speaker.
He said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's what the school, the prophets didn't know. But Elijah knew it. Hallelujah. Elijah was walking in a greater revelation than they were. So he humbly received their revelation. And it was true. It was all truth. But he knew beyond that, but he didn't bother to tell them, did he? He didn't tell them, hey, yeah, and I know something else too. He didn't tell them. He just simply went ahead to walk out his revelation. The first thing, he hadn't got it yet. amen. And as you have received, therefore walk in it. So he hadn't got it when he's with these school of prophets, but he's going to get it. But he just knows that by revelation. He's not going to share it with anybody until he gets it. And when he gets it, he'll share it with them. When he gets it, he's walking in a far greater revelation than they were walking in. And so it come to pass, he says that he wants a double portion. In the verse 10, he said, you've asked a hard thing, but nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away, it shall, you can have it. Well, that's, if you see me when I go, well, I imagine he said, if you go, I'm going to see you. Because he's been sticking right with him, hasn't he? He is not Jordan. Now, what? He's going down to Jordan. It would seem that he could have left him here, wouldn't it? He could have left him back up there at Jericho, where all the miraculous ministry was taken on, but he follows him down to Jordan, and Jordan's a type of death. When you cross over Jordan, you're never the same. Yeah. 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 When you cross over Jordan, you remember Joshua, he said, sanctify yourselves, because in 3 days, we're going to cross over this Jordan. It's a type of death. The old songs, the old hymns sang about Jordan, crossing Chile Jordan. Type of death. Indeed, it is a type of death. And but Elisha is going down here and go cross Jordan. That's where the last of the flesh is killed off. And he'll be a spiritual man. Hallelujah. You see. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. For the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. That's sonship. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Oh, sons of God. Let us march forward. Hallelujah. So, didn't it come about that time that Elijah, let's see, in verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on, Elijah and Elijah, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. Yeah. This is just an honorary title that he's given him. He says, there goes the protection of Israel. More protection than they've gotten all the horses and all the chariots of Israel. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, if he doesn't get a double portion, hallelujah, amen, but he's going to get a double portion. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, fell from Elijah, and went back and stood by the banks of Jordan. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God forever. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? Hallelujah. And this used to be one of my favorite texts when I preached for in the early days, Glenn, for a decision. Where is the God of Elijah? One time a friend of mine called me, and this was back before integration much, and the blacks didn't come too much to white church or vice versa, you know. But he called me and said, hey, Brother Jack, said, would you preach for a black group that's coming to my church? Next, he told me when. And he said, I told him that I know a man that can preach more like a black than a black can. And I said, yeah, I'll come and preach for him. So I went over to preach for him, and this black group had come, and they brought their pastor, and the gracious group they were. And the gracious pastor, this black brother was, he preached good. They let him preach first. You know, they always would do that. And oh, he preached. He was tearing up the furniture, you know, and he was really getting with it. And we had the house packed out, and it was hanging from the rafters. And that's just a form of speech, not really. And I thought, goodness, he preached about an hour. And I thought, what in the world could I preach that would get anybody's attention after this guy has given it such a gracious shake here? I mean, oh, he'd done it good. I mean, he really did it good. And this was my text. When it come my time, I took up the mantle and smote Jordan and cried out, where is the God of Elijah? Oh, my Lord. And from there on, it was just free Freewheeling. You know freewheeling? Got it? Push the speed control. And just kind of rested in it, you know. My God's great. He just never has failed me. Hallelujah. I've been in some places that could have been pretty embarrassing, pretty tight, but he always give me that special anointing for that special occasion. Just so graciously he'd pour it out on me. You know, I couldn't feel anything, but I knew I had to start, so I start. And I can't get through the first sentence until I feel it. It's calm. Hallelujah. I hear a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Oh, and I feel it in every pulse of my being. And I'm bringing life and destroying death. And I'm aware of it. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Hallelujah. Amen. If I had 10 more lives to live, I'd like to just preach through all of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, wonder of wonders. All right, so he smites the water, and sure enough, the God of Elijah answered him, didn't he? And then he goes in verse 15, here it is. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, they never had bowed to Elijah, but they bowed to Elisha. He had a double portion, and they couldn't stand in the presence of that double portion. Elisha walked in a greater revelation than they had. He let them expand their revelation. He gloried in it with them, let them glory in it. He said, "That's right, I understand." He didn't bother to tell them, "I see further than that, though." How about, I mean, they just drove up to today and as if there was no tomorrow. But Elijah was looking for a tomorrow out there. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he walked with God. Now I said of Paul, the apostle, we'll turn over to Acts chapter, we might as well just get over about chapter 20, I guess, or somewhere along here in the book of Acts. And we'll pick up on the apostle Paul. Now let's start in the 19th chapter. And watch him here as he walks through here. Well, now Paul says in the 19th chapter and the 21st verse, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." Now here's his revelation that he must go. He wants to go to Jerusalem, but he must go to Rome. All right, and let's turn over here to the 25th chapter just and hold our place here. 25th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 11. All right, here he says, "If I be an offender, I have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar." Now here, the Apostle Paul appeals to Caesar. He appeals to Caesar here. And the book of Acts says, well, now let's turn back to chapter 23 and verse 11. "And the following night the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Well, Paul has a direct word from the Lord that he's going to Rome. And he hasn't been there yet. So, you see, he's picking up some negatives along the way as he makes this journey, but he's going to Rome. He already has a declaration from the Lord. He has felt in his spirit an urge to go to Rome for a long time. And now he has a promise from the Lord that he will go to Rome. He appeals to Caesar, and more than one of the tribunal courts that Jesus stood before, the judge declared, if this man had not appealed to Caesar, we'd release him. But he didn't want to be released. He's got a tour all paid for to Rome by the Lord. And again it is said, if he had not appealed to Caesar, we'd just turn him loose. But since he had appealed to Caesar, they couldn't turn him loose. They had to bring him before the Roman emperor. And this was everywhere. He is guaranteeing his trip to Rome. Now, when he travels through all quarters, let's go back to the 19th chapter here, and all about verse 21, maybe. He bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. He's wanting to go to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is just something that's happening along the way. He's really going to Rome. You know, the Bible said that Jesus endured the cross, though he despised the shame of it, but he endured as seeing beyond the cross. He had to look beyond the cross. If you just see the cross as a dead end, it is a fatalist mentality, to be sure, isn't it? And that's what many seen, the cross as a dead end. But Jesus seen the cross beyond. He looked beyond the cross. Hallelujah. And that's what we have to do. If we see just the death of the old man as the end, that's a terrible peril. But I tell you, we look beyond that. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen, they are the real. The Bible says of Moses that he endured as one able to see the invisible. Hallelujah. He could see in two realms. You see, the blessed sons of God can see in two realms. We can see the visible and the invisible. And we can discern between the visible and the invisible, and we know that the visible is temporal and the invisible is eternal. Hallelujah. And all right, so Paul is that now he's coming along here and he gets over here to chapter 21, let's see, in verse 4. Here, chapter 21, verse 4, finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. They have come to Phoenicia here, and said to Paul, but the Spirit, 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. Well, Paul listened to their prophecies, and then he gets on over here in the house of, in the eighth verse, Paul's company comes to the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, what mean you to weep and to break mine heart? I'm ready to be bound, not only ready to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the blessed Lord. And he persuaded them to be, hold their peace. But what he was saying, I think, he said, if you were to threaten me with death, I'd go to Jerusalem. Because what he knew was, if he went to Jerusalem, whatever happened to him, that was the termination of all things. That's as far as their revelation took him. But what he knew, that beyond Jerusalem lay Rome. Oh, a great journey away, all right. But if he went to Jerusalem, he's on his way to Rome by the promise of God. So he's moving by revelation. He doesn't doubt that many things will befall him as he moves toward to apprehend that for which he is apprehended for. Many things have befallen us as we move toward the apprehension of all things. Some things just happen to us along the way. Doesn't seem to have any meaning or any bearing. But we don't. We have an aim. We're going somewhere. We must have a destination in mind. We must have a goal in mind. We're pressing toward the price, the mark for the price of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So Paul answered. Now, isn't it a marvelous thing here? What's he trying to tell us here? They're in the house of Philip. Philip has 4 daughters that prophesy. They're not prophetess. They just prophesy to the gift of prophecy. There's a difference. You know there's a difference. All right. But a prophet comes down from Jerusalem and gives Paul this word. Now, this word that he gives is a word of direction. Actually, it's direction, counsel. It doesn't come through the gift of prophecy, it comes from the office prophet. Agabus is a prophet. These girls they have the gift of prophecy. And as I said, I would teach everyone that has the gift of prophecy to turn it into a ministry. But the gift of prophecy will never make you a prophet. But you can turn it into a gift, to a ministry of prophecy, and do the work of a prophet as far as edifying the body is concerned. You don't have the office and the authority behind the office with it. But these are, thank God, of course, that's a teaching, and I guess I shouldn't even mention that as we pass through there. But you know that Paul then is traveling by a greater revelation. He says, yeah, okay, I know that, but I'm going to Jerusalem anyhow, because he knows that he's going on through Jerusalem and he's going to Rome. But they fear that he's going to get to Jerusalem and be killed there and, you know, and come to a bad end. But he knows beyond that, he's going to Rome. He's going to bear witness in Rome. And witness he did bear in Rome, didn't he? Oh, the most beautiful writing that he gave came from that dungeon there in Rome. Just a hole in the ground, but the little light can get through for maybe an hour and a half, every 24 hours if the sun's shining. Cold and damp, and the Apostle Paul was in ill health. He had been battered much. From henceforth, he said, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, I know what he was talking about. He was talking about them scars that he got when he wrestled with the beast at Ephesus. Talking about them scars he received when he was stoned and left for dead. These were the marks of Christ. He got them because he was following his blessed Lord. He bore in his body. It never could be forgotten by Paul. Yeah, you know. There are a lot of, you know, there's a move that's trying to say now that the Holocaust, World War II, Holocaust for the Jewish, among Jewish people, you know, over there, that it was all blown out of proportion, was very little truth to it. That instead of 6 million, there might have been 6,000. You'd have a hard time telling some of them guys that's still around, it's got them numbers tattooed on them. You'd have a hard time telling them if that never happened, wouldn't you? Yeah. They'd say, don't trouble me anymore. I bear the marks of the Holocaust in my body. Here it is. To be revealed. Oh, praise the Lord. Anything that we're dedicated to, we'll likely pick up a few scars entertaining it. Boy. Now, God's calling us to a dedication that's greater than any people has ever walked in. Hallelujah. He's calling us to be mature sons of God, to move out of the baby state of milk, and into the meat-eating group. Hallelujah. Amen. To cross over Jordan and go through that realm that will crucify the old man. For I reckon, said the Apostle Paul, the sufferings of this time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I tell you, he's going to reveal his glory in us and through us. Though an unveiling is coming, my friend. Let there be no mistake about it. He is unveiling himself in us now, revealing himself to us. And he's going to bring us to that day of unveiling when, and now to him who is able to present us before his presence faultless with exceeding joy, may there be glory, honor, and majesty and dominion world without end. He is able to present us how? Before his presence faultless. Faultless. Oh, faultless. Yes. It is better for me to die than to live, the apostle said. Hallelujah. Yeah, he said, I die daily, didn't he? I just killed this old man, crucified the old man, the old flesh daily, that we might walk in his presence. I tell you, if we'll do this, one day we'll find out that we have walked right into the law of liberty. Amen. And we'll find it to be a perfect law. We'll find that we have actually become partakers of his divine nature and that we're more like him than we thought. No? Let me show you people here in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew. You just turn over there with me, if you will, and we'll read a little bit. I'm winding down now. I'm going to close here very quickly. 25, in verse 25. begins with verse 31. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now here's a people that had pleased God without even trying. They weren't even aware of it. When he tells them what they had done to merit such abundant entrance, they were sure surprised, weren't they? And he said, Why, you clothed me, and I was in prison, you came visit me, and I was sick, and I was hungry. They said, Lord, when did we do these things? When did we do these things? Here was a people then that their first nature was to walk in a way that pleased God, in a way that would get them into the kingdom. They were not even aware of it. They were just walking. They were just doing what they felt to do, what they felt was the first nature with them when they got up every morning. And they were walking with God. The other group, they thought they had a lot of merits, didn't they? And come to find out, they didn't have any. This is what we must come to, is a place that we walk with God without having to be conscious of that walk, without having to remind ourselves every few minutes, Hey, you're a Christian. Yeah. Hey, you're a son of God. Yeah. We don't have to do that. No, we'll just walk in the nature of God's beautiful sons. Oh, what a glad day it is. What a glad day is still to come. And what a glad day this is today. Hallelujah. Well, the Apostle Paul goes to Rome, but that's another story. If I would be starting another lesson, but you remember the voyage that he gets on to go to Rome, don't you? And gets in all that shipwreck and everything. Well, this was his revelation. All them people back there in Jerusalem, still back at Jerusalem. Tell you this little incident. Brother David, he said that he met somebody who was preaching in a park. You was preaching in the park, weren't you? That reminded me of this beautiful story, and watch how the sovereignty of God moves here. I was on my way to Washington, D.C., and I'd stayed all night in Roanoke, Virginia, and got up the next morning. It was Sunday. It was Saturday night I stayed in Roanoke. And I got up the next morning, Sunday, and I started out down 85, I think it is. Yeah, 85. And I was thinking as I drove along there, it was getting about 10 o'clock, about church time. And I thought, and I think I just talked out loud to myself, and I said, Boy, I hadn't missed a Sunday morning service, and I wonder how long it's been. And since I missed a Sunday morning service, I mean, I don't travel on Sunday, you know, I try to get where I'm going before then, and I've always been in church somewhere. But I was going to miss this Sunday morning church, so about the time I hadn't much more than said that, and I seen a sign that says, rest area, 2 miles or something. And then it had another sign that said there's coffee and donuts, and it was all for some child benefit, you know. And so I got there, I pulled in, thought, well, give me a cup of coffee. And I pulled in, and it was one of those. It was a beautiful rest area with a big facility up, and it was one of those that you go up a few steps, you know, and you're on one plateau, and up a few more steps and on another plateau. And just as I pulled in and got out of the car, there was 2 buses pulled in facing me, chartered buses, and there was couples on those buses. I don't know. They were some kind of of a fraternity, but they were religious, and they got off the bus, and they was, you know, like young people, 35, years old in that age bracket, by and large. And this has been some years ago. And when they got off the bus, well, I was already going up step to the facilities there, and I heard them singing a chorus. Some of them sang the chorus. It was one of the chorus I knew. And I said, "Hey, y'all sing that chorus in your church, huh?" "Yeah." I said, "Where y'all go to church?" And they told me, and I said, "Boy, I missed church this morning. I was just thinking how much I missed it." And they said, "That's what we was just thinking. Said, if we had a preacher, we'd just decided if we had a preacher, we'd have a service." And I said, "Well, guess what? You got one." So he runs back down there. One of these guys runs back down and says, "Hey, come on. So we got a preacher," and he's a big one. Chuck. So they come and we sing some choruses and we had a good time. There's about 60 on each one of them buses. So, I mean, you know, it was as big a congregation as I was ever used to. So they had come, you know, they sang a few choruses and we just had a great time in worship. And I preached about 40 minutes. I mean, you know, I just got down on it and preached them those salvation, you know, and then gave the invitation, prayed for some of them, received the baptism, and some of them did receive the baptism. And then when we'd been about an hour and a half in this, and so I said, "Well, I guess I better close. I got to get to D.C. today." And and one of the guys said, "Let's take the preacher up an offering." So he gets a hat, and they pass the hat, and I said, "All right, if y'all take me up an offering, I'm going to give it to this worthy cause here," whatever it is. You know, it was a children's thing. And they did. They took up an offering, or just a hat full of money, and we gave it over to that worthy cause. And I went down, and I started out down the road about dinner time feeling real good. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Just moving. God, just move. Yeah, then. Let me tell you this one, and I'll close. I was in Kennedy Airport, yeah, and I came down the ramp, and just as I stepped off of the ramp down there, a lady speaks out from behind me and said, "Hey, are you an apostle?" And I said, "Do you know me?" She said, "No." "What makes you think I'm an apostle?" "Well, I don't know," said, "the Lord told me." "Well, you know, I don't just go around telling everybody that I'm an apostle." So I said, "Well, I am a minister." She said, "Well," I said, "come over here." And so she took me back over in part of that airport, and we had about this many people. And and she said, you know some choruses?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Sing some choruses and we'll sing with you." And so you sang some and I'll sing with you, you know. And so we got singing choruses there, and we sang choruses and for a while, and then I preached for a while, and then we ministered for a while, and then I went flying off feeling real good. Praise the Lord. And you know, sometimes I think it was today I went to the mailbox and got it cut up on my Christmas card, and I had some Christmas cards from some of these bright people. It was about 1972, along in there. Been a long time. God and His sovereign goodness has been so graceful to us. And I'm so grateful to Him for it. Hallelujah. Yes, moving and moving. I wouldn't tell you about some of the things that the Lord has spoke to me, but it would be too lengthy, and I'm not going to do it. Amen. But believe me that the Lord has always been present with me. And He's done the unexpected for me. These things were unexpected. I didn't expect them. And I didn't ask for them. Like I say, it's one of those things that I would use my terminology and say, "Well, it just fell in my lap." So I preached for this group that Sunday morning. Just fell in my lap at the airport. I preached for them. Hallelujah. Something happened along the way. I'm trying to walk into life, but I'm taking advantage of everything that happens along the way. You understand? But I'm not going to let it deter me from my walk to Zion. I'm coming to Zion with everlasting joy. I am. Let's stand together and lift our hands and voices together in adoration and praise to Him. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, I invoke choice blessings for this people tonight. In Jesus' name, I invoke choice blessings on you now. Oh, may you bless them with the choicest blessings of heaven, great God. My Lord, let the spirit of revelation flow through their in-being, O Lord. In Jesus' wonderful and good name tonight, O Lord, I beseech you now. Thank you, great God. I pray just now, Lord, that you seal every word that will be profitable in our pursuit of the kingdom. Every word that we've spoken, Lord, if it's profitable to the kingdom, seal it to our spirit. If it be unprofitable, just let us forget it before we leave the tabernacle, Lord. And seal only that will help us. My Lord and our God, if I've spoken anything in folly, let us just forget that. But all the serious word of God that has come forth to build a kingdom, I pray that you'd seal it forever in our spirits in Jesus' name. Now I tell you now, my people, saith the Lord, that I will indeed seal a word unto you. Yea, indeed, you will feel the sensation that deep has called to deep, and you will know that something is growing in the inner man. Yea, you will know that changes are transpiring within your being, for the Lord thou God shall move through thee, yea, and move in thee in a mighty way, saith the Lord. Yea, for you have not come to this place to be given naught, saith the Lord. Yea, but you have come that your needs might be met. I tell you to come expecting to every gathering during this meeting, and you shall not be disappointed. I tell you another thing, saith the Lord, that you shall not leave like you come, for I am changing my people, saith the Lord. Yea, all that are following after me, it is change after change after change. Yea, and you do not remain on the same plateau for long at a time, for we are moving swiftly. Yes, we're moving swiftly to the end of this age, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and many things must yet come to pass. Many things must yet transpire, saith the Lord. But you shall be a part of all of it if you will yield yourselves unto God through the Holy Ghost, saith the Lord thou God. I tell you now that you can be a part of what the Lord is doing. Yea, for I shall give you the spoil. I shall divide many things among you, saith the Lord thou God. I shall teach you divine order that you've never known. I'll show you divine placement that you've never seen, saith the Lord thou God. And you shall know me in a greater measure than you have ever known me. Yea, for I have declared it, and I am revealing. Purposely, I am revealing myself to you now, saith the Lord. Archer of the Lord, go free. Now, through the body of Christ, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, healing virtue of the Lord, my God, in Jesus' name, flow freely now, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God forever. Thank you, great God. Thank you for your marvelous goodness toward us. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be God forever. Healing virtue of Jesus. Minister, Lord. Minister to these ministers, Lord. That we might minister to this people, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. My, give us a sure word. A certain sound, O Lord. Great God, let us coordinate the word and the spirit of God most beautifully these days, O Lord. I know that you will permit us to do it, Lord. I know you will. Blessings be on Brother Miller and Sister Miller and the staff around here, Lord. And give them strength to my for all the details that they have to adhere to and see to during this time of meeting. Give them a special little bit of energetic boost, O Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And especially give them a real special spiritual blessing. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I invoke choice blessings for you, Brother Glenn, for you, Irma. Hallelujah. Amen. For you, my brethren, and you, Erlene, you made it back, didn't you? Yes, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Blessed be God. Thank the Lord, Brother Miller. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
About 6 weeks ago, in my studies, I talked about this one day this week somewhere. I'm going to mention it again. It was my subject for one of the services. But I talked about thy kingdom come. And that's what Jack
has talked about tonight. But I saw a revelation of the kingdom of God about 6 weeks ago that I had never seen or understood before. That God's purpose in the creation of the universe, in the creation of the earth, in the creation of man. We thought that God's purpose was Calvary and salvation. But that is not so. Calvary is a byproduct of the kingdom of God. God's purpose is to have a kingdom to give to his son and subjects in that kingdom. That's God's purpose of creation. It's God's purpose of man. And it's God's purpose of Calvary. To have subjects for the kingdom of his son. And to think that we've been given the privilege to be counted worthy to be subjects of that kingdom. Oh, what a glorious possibility has been given unto those who will believe. Only thou canst believe. All things are possible. Lord, help thou our unbelief. And help us to believe. Help us, Lord. We will be counted worthy to be part of that kingdom that God is preparing for his son. And who is he? Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. Help that burn within us that we will determine that Jesus is Lord of our lives. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your presence, for the manifestation of the glory of the Holy Ghost that flow and move amongst us as we gather to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to him we give our praise and our worship and our admiration. King of kings and Lord of lords, Emmanuel, the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega. Jesus is his name. To him we submit our praise and our worship. For unto him it is due and is the least that we can offer. We praise you and we thank you for your presence. Thank you for rest. Thank you for peace. Thank you for raising us tomorrow to again worship and praise and magnify Jesus, to sit at the feet of those that have come to teach and to learn that which we need to know, that we can declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my earth as it will be and is being done in heaven and in this earth about us. We thank you for the privilege of learning, sitting at the feet of those that have come to be the Gamaliels of this day. We can sit at their feet. We can learn and then rise up to be part of that which you're doing in the earth in this hour. We praise and we thank you for it. Amen, amen. The Lord bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.